how much his Rebbe, the Rimagash, if the Rambam writes that about the Rimagash, so one can have some inkling of what kind of people we are talking about. It would be superfluous to say that the Rambam was blessed with a superior mind, with a photographic memory, with a tremendous willpower to study, so that he himself writes that by the time he was 15, he had acquired a complete education. And when he means a complete education, he means not only a complete Torah education. The Rambam was, if we could use that term, the Rambam is the original Renaissance man. The Rambam is a philosopher, an astronomer, a mathematician, a physician, a linguist, a poet, a critic, and it's all self-taught. Now, it's hard for us in our day of medical schools and internship and residencies and specialties and subspecialties to imagine a self-taught doctor, though there may be some lurking out there today also. Someone once told me that he attended Yale Medical School. In Yale Medical School, you don't have to go to any of the classes. You just have to take the test. She said he never came the whole year, came, took the test, and passed. I immediately got a different doctor. Because he may have got a 70. I don't know what he got, right? But our concept of a self-taught doctor is, it's very difficult for us to appreciate that. But the truth of the matter is that almost until our time, medicine was not the exact science, quote-unquote, that it holds itself out to be today. And that the study of anatomy and of medicine and of pharmacology, etc., especially in the Middle Ages, was almost completely self-taught. And we will find that that's true with the Rambam, and that's true with other great Jewish rabbis who also were physicians, that they taught themselves medicine. But by the time he was 15, the Rambam felt that he had a complete education. At the age of 15, an event occurred that would have tremendous bearing not only on the life of the Rambam, but on Jewish history in Spain. The Muslim religion, like many other religions, goes through certain cycles. The cycles are between the liberals, if one could use that word, or the moderates, and between those who are what are today called fundamentalists. In other words, there are Muslims who for a long period of time don't take the Quran literally, and may not even take it too seriously. And then there comes a period of time when the Quran is taken not only seriously, but literally. In our time, examples of that abound. Gaddafi in Libya, Khomeini in Iran, the ruling family in Saudi Arabia. Those are people who take the Quran literally. Head of Iraq, for instance, he's not really Froom. He doesn't really believe it. He's more socialist than Muslim. Assad in Syria. And the Muslim world swings almost like a pendulum, back and forth between extremes. And when the swing does occur, that is a dangerous time, again, as our time has proven. It's a time of fanaticism, a time of cruelty, and there is no cruelty equal to the cruelty perpetrated in the name of God. Because then there are no inhibitions. Then one is allowed to destroy human life without compunction.